I thought it would be interesting to talk about a topic, which is a very basic and fundamental topic in the world of Tumah v'Tahara. It's a very intriguing topic. It's one that has particular relevance for the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and I want to try to present it in the following way. I should point out that there's an amazing sefer on the Aseres Yemei Tshuva called Bein Kisei La'asor by Rabbi Eliezer Brot, very dear friend Rabbi Aaron Katz, if you know him, bought the sefer for me a couple of years ago. It's a gift. It's an amazing, it's very well researched. It's very extensive. He has a lot of pages on our topic. But let me try to introduce what the topic is really about. There is a comment of the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in Maseches Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Yerushalmi tells us that Rabbi Chiya told Rav that ideally there's an inyan to eat your chulin b'tahara. What it means to eat your chulin b'tahara is that normally we are all tamei nowadays, and the food we eat is tamei also, and there's no iser for a tamei person to eat tamei food. You're all good to go. But Rav apparently was told by Reb Chiya that it's important that you try to eat your chulin b'tahara, that you try to treat even your non-truma kachim, your regular food, try to treat it b'tahara. And then he told him, v'imlav tehei achel, and if you're for whatever reason unable to do so, so at least 7 days a year you should be eating your chulin b'tahara. At least 7 days a year you should be eating your regular food in a state of tahara. What are the 7 days a year that we are referring to when you are eating your chulin b'tahara? So the most mainstream view in Rishonim, I believe, what the Karb Ha'eda quotes in his Perush on the Yerushalmi there, it's one day quoted by the Or Zeruah, it's a day quoted in the Rush, is that these are referenced, the 7 days referred to as the seven of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The seven of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that we should be extra careful to eat all the food that we consume, bitahara. So even a regular fruit that normally we're not careful about, it's not shruma, it's not kachim, you're allowed to eat it bitumah. We're careful in these 7 days. Why not all 10 days? Well, Yom Kippur, there's no need to be machbid because Yom Kippur, you're not eating anyway. What about Rosh Hashanah? How come we're not told Rosh Hashanah to eat b'tahara? So the Or Zeruah says, some people put a riot from here, that they used to fast on Rosh Hashanah also, and that's why Rosh Hashanah also wasn't included. That's a big machlokas amongst the Gaonim. So really, the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you should eat b'tahara, but L'maisa, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, no need. Or, as some Rishonim say, on Rosh Hashanah, we were either way going to be eating it b'tahara, because some Rishonim hold it's a din of Chayiv Adam L'tahir Atzmo B'regel, that in all the regalim, and perhaps even Rosh Hashanah, a person has to be pure. So of course, Rosh Hashanah, we are makbid to eat all of our food in a state of purity. But many understand this is a reference to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when a person should eat all of their food and be makbid on Tumah V'Tahara as much as possible. This actually does become the basis, as some Rishonim quote this, as not being about Chulin B'Tahara, but yes, being about Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but rather being the makar that Shulchan Aruch records to not eat Pas Akum during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That we are more makbid on the food that we eat in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to make sure that it's as pure and holy as possible. There are Rishonim and Achronim that learn that he was not being told Dafka, the 7 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but rather he's referring to a different 7 day time period in which it's important to eat b'tahara. What would that different 7 day time period potentially be? So if Kasher in the Torah Shlema quotes his understanding of a sefer called the Sefer HaMenucha, that the 7 days are the 7 days of Pesach, that it was a chumrah as far as helping to avoid certain concerns of chametz, was to treat all of your food b'tahara on Pesach, and perhaps it's not a reference dafka to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The Or Zeruah has a suggestion, as do some others, that perhaps it's a reference not to the 7 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva or the 7 days of Pesach, but rather any 7 days throughout the year. Pick seven, and on those days, eat b'tahara. Okay, it's intriguing. We'll get back to that later. Or the Meshech Chachma suggests that the 7 days actually refer to the 7 days of Yamim Tovim. Meshech Chachma writes in Parshas Emor, it refers to the 7 days of seven Yamim Tovim. The two, think in biblical terms, Eretz Yisrael terms, 2 days of Pesach or Yontif, 2 days of Sukkot, 1 day of Shavuos, 1 day of Shavuos, and then he says, Rosh Hashanah, which was going to be 2 days. So that's going to be your 7 days of eating bitara on Yontif. That it coincides with the need to be tower. Chayav al bitara as a regal, you should be makbid on that also. What I want to try to understand a little bit is general background to this idea of eating chulin bitara. What exactly is behind this idea in general? And then we'll hopefully understand why it was the minhag developed dafka naseres yemei tshuva. Dafka naseres yemei tshuva. And then hopefully we'll have time to speak about how in Tzfas in the 16th century or so, they dafka were makbid on this, and how you could be makbid nowadays when we're all tamei meis with no paraduma to eat all of your food bitara. How exactly you could pull that off. I don't mean that practically. There's some strong opposition to it, but at least it would be a little bit intriguing. So let me begin in the following way. So again, there seems to be for the Yerushalmi, for many Rishonim, this idea of 7 days a year, perhaps in between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to eat all of your regular food bitahara. Let's understand what's going on here with the sugya. What's going on? It's called chulin, which is not al taharas hakodesh. Chulin, which is treated like tahara, so like tahara food. So a little bit of background. We've quoted in the past the idea that in general there is no iser at all for a person to be tamei. A kohen can't become tamei meis, a nazir can't become tamei, but a regular Yisrael is allowed to become tamei, except for during the shalosh regalim or other kinds where you say chayev adam l'tahir atma b'regal. Generally speaking, there is no problem whatsoever with becoming tamei. Additionally, while we spoke last time about how there's an iser to be metamei truma, and there's an iser to be metame kachim, their bipashtos is no iser to be metame a regular food. If there was an iser to be metame regular food, we would have a very difficult existence nowadays because we're tame. And every time that we wash an apple and are machshir the apple or any kind of a food that you put, they get wet, so ochel can become tame. We have a hard time eating if we were not allowed to be metame, certainly in a hygienic way, if we weren't allowed to be metame food. So, in general, there's no iser, and you're all good to go. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, on Daf Beis, Daf Lamed Dalet to Lamed Hey, the Sugya and Chagiga, I think from the way bottom of your Tesla Beis, Daf Chaf, major Sugyas, that there was this phenomenon of people that even though the food was not Truma or Kachim, and there's no iser to make it Tameh, they would only eat food Bitara. They would only eat food Bitara. Why would they only eat food bitara? So there seem to be three mahalchim and rishonim as to why they would eat food bitara. Rashi writes, as an example, in Chagiga and Daf Yotessim Abiz, that people would be makbid tichul and bitara so that they would become more familiar with how to eat kachim in a time period where we are more makbid on tahara. Rashi in Chulim and Beis on Beis sounds like this also, that there seemed to be a svara of it's very hard to keep halachas. I'm not used to keeping it. I'm going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be a little bit tricky, all the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. But if I'm makbid all year round, I'll be more comfortable, and therefore I'll be able to have a better time, and my house, my family members will also be able to be more comfortable following these halachos. The Rambam and Perish on Mishnah in Taharos and Perek Beis Mishnah Beis, the Rambam writes an additional svara, which was, you know, it's good to avoid eating with amaratzim, says the Rambam. It's good to avoid eating with them. So one of the good ways to avoid eating with amaratzim is to not eat the same food as amaratzim. So if I'm makbid and only eating bitara, so I'm going to avoid eating with them. The Rambam writes, Kasher Ratzu, there were these chassidim, these very holy people. Kasher Ratzu lahavi atzim lidei prisha mehamon amehaaretz. They would eat differently from them, maybe matpat, and only eating things betahara. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah, in Tumas Ochlin, Tazayin, Yud Beis, adds a bit beyond that. The reason to be matpat on eating all of your food betahara isn't just to get you ready so that when you're in the mikdash, you'll be more used to eating food betahara. It isn't just so that I'll avoid being around amaratzim, but the Rambam adds that if you do this, you become a person who's poresh, the mid of precious. You're separating yourself from other people. And a precious may lidei taharas haguf. And your precious will allow you to become more tahar. And taharas haguf and more tahara will lead you to kedushas hanefesh, min hadeos haraos. You'll avoid bad midos. And kedushas hanefesh will allow you to be more like the Shechina. So the Rambam thinks there are people that did this not to be used to what was going to be done in the Mikdash, not in order so that they're going to be able to be away from Maratzim, but it's going to eventually lead them to live holier lives. To live holier lives and being focused more on Hashem. This idea of Chulin, which is done al Taras HaKodesh, there are machloksim in Chazal about what are the parameters of this halacha. How makbid do I have to be? The Chazon Ish points out, it's a Chazon Ish in Yoredeya, Simin Tzadi Zayin Sifkat and Hay. The Chazon Ish points out in Yoredeya, the idea of Chulin, Shenas al Taras HaKodesh, is not just a neder. It's not just me being mekabel upon myself, but he suggests that there was a takana that Chazal made. That maybe Chazal said, we ideally want all chulin to be treated with tahara, but we can't impose that chiv on the hamon am. People aren't able to hold of that. But this is a takana that anybody that wants can opt into. That you have the ability to opt into a particular takana, and you can opt into these halachas. What are these halachas of Chulin, Shenas, Altaris, HaKodesh? What exactly are these halachos? So there's a major machlokes in Chazal. Three shitas in Tanaim. We'll talk about what exactly, how much am I treating this Chulin like Kachim? How much am I treating this Chulin really like Kachim? So there seems to be machlokesim in Chazal, and machloksim in Rishonim, how seriously you take this. We know, we spoke about this, that there are gradations in Tumah V'Tahara. In there's an Av HaTumah, then there's a Rishon, a Sheni, a Shlishi, and a Revi'i. Chulin in general can only become a Sheni. The only things that can receive and can become a Shlishi L'Tumah are Truma or Kachim. The only thing which could become a Revi is Kachim. That's the gradation. So when we say that we treat Chulin like Tumah V'Tahara, do we mean that we're careful to treat it like Chulin and not to make it into a Sheni? But it's not actually Kachim or Truma. So it's fine if you're Machben on Taros and this would become a Shlishi or a Revi. Do we say we treat it like Truma? And therefore, it could become even a shlishi. We're relating to this chulin as if it's truma, and therefore, you can't even make it a shlishi. Or are we so machmir as to say it's kikodesh damu, and that this regular apple that you have, which is not truma or a kachim, but you're going to treat it like kachim, and it could even become a revi. The Rishonim debated in a different direction. If I treat my item Chulin, Shenasu, Altaras, HaKodesh. Am I allowed to be Metamei? We know I'm not allowed to be Metamei Truma. I'm not allowed to be Metamei Kachim. Am I allowed to be Metamei the food or not? Rashi and Chulin on Beis HaMebeis, as well as the Ritva, understand. It's Mamish like Truma. So you're also, at least on a Durabanan level, not allowed to be Metamei. So if I own food that I am treating, I'm aspiring for a chulin, I want to treat all my chulin b'tahara, it would be usher for me to be metame that food. It sounds, Mikdash David points out, it's not just me being machmir as a gavra, a din in the chefta, I can identify a certain food that I want to treat, like kachim, and I can't even be metame it. The Ramban says that's not true at all. The Ramban says, I don't buy that. The Ramban says you're allowed to be metame it, you just have a chumra not to eat it. But it's not mamish like truma. It's not mamish like truma that if it becomes tamei. There's a big Talmud Chacham, Reb David Rabbeport, where a sefer called the Mikdash David. The Mikdash David, it's wonderful essays on Kachim and Taros and Zrayim. Think of Schechter often says over, at the Mikdash David, David Rabbeport was offered a job by Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan offered him a job to be a Rebbe because Rav Elchanan went through his far Mikdash David. And they're so organized, it's so clear, and it's such deep Torah, presented so nicely, he said, it'll be a great Rebbe. So he offered Mikdash David a job to be a Rebbe. The problem was, when Mikdash David showed up, he had a serious speech impediment. You don't see it in the text. So So it became a little bit complicated. You know, what do you do if Rebbe has a serious speech impediment? But that's a little bit of the background. Mikdash David points out from Rambam that it seems in Rambam that we treat this food so much like it's chulin, inside that it's like kachim, that if the food would become tamei, the same way if kachim becomes tamei or truma, you have a chiyuv to burn it, that not only would it be usher to be metamei, but if you'd be metamei it, you'd actually have to burn it. Even though it's a regular apple, meaning you are opting in to treat all of your food with a level of kedusha. You're opting in to treat all your food to live a life where everything is tahor, even though, strictly speaking, you're allowed to be tameh, even though, strictly speaking, there's no iser to be metameh food, regular food, but you're opting in. Some think, again, it's a more minor opt-in, the Ramban, you're allowed to be metameh it, you're just mocked not to eat it. Rashi and the Ritva think you can't even be metameh it, likely Tosfos was a shita also in Chulin Daf Beis. And the Rambam thinks it's so much like it, you have to burn it if it becomes tame. It goes all the way there. We saw thus far that some people have a minag. Some Rishonim understood there's a minag in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to eat all of your food, even the naan that was normally allowed to tame, to eat it betahara. We learned a little bit about the background of this halacha. Chazal speak about some machloksim. Can it become a sheni, shlishi, revi'i? How much is it really that you're treating this regular chulin, my regular dinner tonight? Am I treating it as if it's tahor? How much am I treating it like that? Can I be metameh? What it is exactly its status? What's behind this halacha? Why is there a phenomenon of chulin, shenazal, and taharas hakodesh? What exactly is going on? So we'll try to develop an idea, a particular mahalach. It relates to what we saw earlier, but hopefully it can explain a little bit and take us into understanding why in Aseres Yemei Tshuva we would be a little bit more careful. So the idea comes from Rav Rosenzweig. I believe he applied it to this sugya, although I'm not positive, but I believe he did. The yisod is as follows, and let's listen up a little bit. Rosenzweig points out that in general, the nature of all moedim, so moedim, we would compare it to Mother's Day if we had more time, but the nature of all moedim is that while it's true, shvuis, moedim often highlight ideas in very intense ways that are certainly relevant the entire year. But it's helpful to have certain tkufos in that year that most intensely highlight them. So we value the importance of Torah every single day. Nevertheless, we still have shvuis. It's thought important to have a day which celebrates Torah in a much more intense way, but it spills over to the rest of the year. It's the one day which is most intensely focused on Torah, but it spills over. Torah is a value the entire year. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a value all the time. But Pesach reminds us most intensely. Derech Agav, that's pshat in Mother's Day. The stupid ha'ara of, I don't believe in Mother's Day because every day should be Mother's Day. So I don't mind, I said this one step. I don't mind if you reject Mother's Day because every day should be Mother's Day, as long as you also don't keep Shavuos or Pesach. Then I totally buy it. Because if you're rejecting the idea of one day being important for the spillover, I'm mekabel that fact, just do malach on Shavuos. One day highlights a yesod, which is true, the entire year. That's what it is. Points out Rosenzweig the following ha'ara. The din in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah of Chayiv Adam L'Tahir Atzmo Beregel, the Rosenzweig pointed out there's a major machloket what's behind that halacha. Some achronim learn pshat is that I have to be ole regel to offer karbanos. So why do I have to be pure on a regel? Because since I have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, I have to be pure to be able to go into the Beis HaMikdash. But it certainly is not true for all Rishonim. Because some Rishonim invoke the idea of Chayiv Adam L'Tahir Regel by Rosh Hashanah, where there is no chiyuv to be ole regel. Ayin Rav Shemaya for beautiful Torah. So why there's no din of Aliyah Regel Rosh Hashanah? But there's no Aliyah Regel. Nevertheless, I still have to be tahor. Because what's the idea of Chayiv Adam L'Tahir Regel? There's a value of tahara, which is always true. It's better to live a life of tahara. However, it's impossible to always be as focused on that. And the Torah couldn't require all people to always live a life of tahara. But we have regalim. And the job of the regel is to highlight for us that the idea of tahara is always a value. And even if I can't, the same way I can't stay up every night learning all night like I do on Shavuos, but it's still a value, so I can't always live a life of pure tahara, but it's certainly a value which is there. That's why Rotzek pointed out the makor of chayav adam tahara regel is not found in a pasuk about regalim. It's found in Parsha Shemini in a general discussion of tumah v'tahara, in a pasuk which sounds like it's saying you should always try to be tahor, because there's a general value in tahara to always be tahor. That, I believe, if Rotzek didn't point out, I would imagine he would, is pshat in the Rambam Mishnah Torah we quoted earlier. There's always a value of tahara. And therefore, a person, what's the halacha of chulin, of treating chulin with tahara? It's not stam, like Rashi would say, just to prepare me for when I go to the mikdash, but it may be more like the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, that ideally a person who lives b'tahara, so you live an elevated existence, an existence where you're more similar to Shechina, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is pure, and you want to be pure also. And there is that capacity to tap into that in a certain sense, to tap into a certain depth of purity, which is true all year long, just lemaisa a little bit more challenging to do. So the halacha of chulin, which is now Saltaris HaKodesh, is an idea potentially based on highlighting for us a value. If a guy could do it always, so you do it always. That's what the Rambam wrote. But let's say you can't do it always. Let's say you can't always live a life of pure tahara. So what do we have instead? So taught Reb Chiya in Yerushalmi Masechah Shabbos, 7 days a year. Give us 7 days a year of pure tahara. 7 days a year, which are not, I'm putting on a scam for the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's not a scam. It's 7 days a year that highlight and express a value that we can't always keep up, but we're highlighting what we aspire for and what we know is the case. We would love to live lives of tahara. That's our greatest value. It's true I can't live a life of constant tumah, of constant tahara, but 7 days a year I can show this is what I aspire for. And perhaps this is pshat even in that day in the Or Zeruah, where the Or Zeruah said, it doesn't have to be Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Choose any 7 days and do it. Any 7 days and do it. Why any 7 days? Because any time throughout the year, just find 7 days where you're koveya, this would be my ultimate value. I can't always keep up to it. I know it's not going to be the case. But it doesn't mean it's not important to be koveya, a value of what you ideally would aspire to be. That aspiration of tahara. Mashlema Davar Domer of Akalish, I believe in his opening shmooze to Waterbury this year, highlighted the idea about the beginning of his man with a mashal about a Friday night Shabbos table. The Shabbos table set beautifully when people come home on Friday night. But don't they know it's going to get ruined later if their kids are at the table, get ruined a little bit? You're koveya a certain tone and a certain value of what you would aspire for a pure Shabbos table. It gets ruined in very, very holy ways with kids spilling and things like that. That's also kadosh. But there's an initial highlighting sometimes in a pure way of what a person in a perfect world maybe or in a certain kind of world would aspire to be able to have. So in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Chulin, even with Tahara, because now I'm trying to highlight my real aspirations and my real values, what I wish the Rambam taught me, maybe I should always try to do, but at minimum on the Regalim and during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, what I'm trying to be able to do. Did anybody keep this halacha l'maisa? Anybody actually do this in the era in which we live? So in the third chapter of the Sefer Ben Kisei Lasher, Parak Shlishi, he writes about a minag done by Mikubale Tzfas, by the Chevron Tzfas. There was a minag, when Avram quotes from the Ari, not clear how much of the Ari was involved. The Shlah speaks about it. Reb Chaim Vital was engaged in it. A bit is a tshuva about this, where there are Chevron Tzfas that were makbid to eat Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Chulin Al Taharas HaKodesh. Problem is, how'd they do that? It's very, very hard. Why is it very hard to be able to do it? Because we're Tamei Meis, and there's no Parah Aduma. So we can't make ourselves Tamei. What exactly do we do? How exactly do we avoid it? So there's a discussion of Chaim Vital. It was a Shiloh written to Chaim Vital. It's found in the Kovetz Shuvos of Shmuel Vital, son of Reb Chaim, put out by Reb Yitzchak Nisim and Shuvos Reb Chaim Vital, published in the Sefer Yovel, Reb Chanuch Albeck, put out Yerushalayim, Tafshut Chav Gimel, page 331, 342. Why not? other places also. The Shlach Kadosh is a similar idea. We'll give the general overview. How would they be makbid? Like, what would they do? So number one, you're allowed to have fruit or vegetables that were never experienced hechsher for tumah. Meaning, if I pick up an apple and the apple never got wet, so I'm able to eat that apple. Because a food can only get wet if it, food starts to only become tameh, we referenced last week, if there's hechsher tumah. So you would be eating peros that never got wet in that kind of a way. Maybe I could have bread, but the bread was going to be bread that was kneaded, that was made, not with any of the seven mashkim that can make it tameh, but rather I use me peros. It's like living permanently on an airplane with Zonos type rolls, you know, or whatever it is. I don't know what the deal with those are anyway, but like that kind of a scene. What are you going to drink though? What are you going to drink? Because mayim, water, doesn't require hechsher tumah. Water is, Rabbi Chanan, two ways of saying it. Either water has built-in hechsher tumah, or water doesn't require hechsher tumah. I think Tut Stadim and Rabbi Chanan and Kovei Chirim in Maseches Pesachim. But what are you going to do about water? So this is a fun one. A ma'ayan, a spring, the water is all pure, the water of a spring. But they were nervous because the inside of my mouth can potentially become tameh. So how are you going to drink it? Vishosim al yedei zrika me rachok beofen shlo yigu abemayim kim be'ivar ma'pnimiyim. So you would take a vessel that's not mekabel tumah. You would take water from a ma'ayan. You would then throw the water, and you would try, get ready for this, to catch the water in your mouth in a way in which it would go straight down. That requires some legitimate skills. A lot of practicing throughout the year. But there apparently was such a minhag that was done and was available. That minhag was not ever going to become so popular for a variety of reasons. The Mabit has a tshuva. Now, this is a tshuva where he expresses some serious concern about it. It's a beautiful thing. The Mabit, who was hanging out in Tzfat, the Mabit, who was a prominent postik in Tzfas in the generation before Reb Chaim Vital, this is Tshuva's Mabit, Chelek Gimel Simen Samches. The Mabit seems to have expressed some real hesitations about it. He says, it's a chil ha-Torah mi piya umos, it's a chil Hashem when the non-Jews see you doing these things. There's something about this which is a little bit odd. Choshim osho kishte toros, like a loshes gordu type idea. It looks very different. It's lo lechadesh, you shouldn't be mechadesh, new things, new chumras that previously shown him we're not doing. But then he elaborates something very, something powerful. The Mabit says that part of the major concern is that people won't be able to eat together. People won't be able to eat as one because it'll mess family life up. It'll mess the ability for families to eat together because not everyone can do this. And you'll have this guy that's machmir eat separately from his family, and there seems to be this toeles in people being able to families being able to eat together. And aside from the fact that no one else is machmir before, why are you being machmir? And the non-Jews think you're nuts. There's something about that cohesive unit, which is definitely very important. Either way, we always try in this slot before I guess this is our last one, I guess, for Elul Zman. But we try to speak about a topic relevant to us, Eretz Meitshuva, Yom Kippur, or to Sukkos. There's definitely a lot to be said. I'll just end our Elul Zman slot here by noting there's something very, very beautiful about Jews that get together on late on Thursday nights and learn about Tumah V'Tahara. There's something very important about that. Hopefully it's helpful content. It'll be helpful when we learn Psachim, whatever it is that we learn Psachim. It is valuable because it's Torah that we have less exposure to, and that's great. Hopefully we're also getting increasingly aware of the depth of Torah, which is here, and that Torah has a lot of very beautiful ideas about ideas of Tumah V'Tahara. So we learned an important idea tonight, important sugyas in Chulin and Chagiga. Chulin, Naz Tarsa Kodesh, the opportunity to tap into certain ideas of Tumah V'Tahara, relevant during now. as we don't eat pas'akum during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and you reflect upon that, again, it's not a scam. It's important sometimes to highlight values that ideally in a perfect world we'd always try to attain, and highlight in very pure ways ideas. We want to still be impacted by aspirations for Tara, whatever way we possibly can. Either way, have a wonderful rest of your night. If I'm going to speak to all of you, have a Gemar Chasima Tova. Hope it's a wonderful Shabbos as well.